Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle-Aged Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, middle-aged gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Hello and welcome to Middle Age Gaming. This is Adam today, and I would just like to start with an apology. So today we did do the show, but due to some errors, we were unable to stream, which meant that we cannot download the video from any of the sites that we would normally stream from. And funny thing, this is the first time that I had forgotten to click that record button, so we did not record the show when we actually did it. So I am very sorry for that. And to make it up to you guys, I am going to basically recap what we talked about today to the best of my memory. Unfortunately, Crean and Antoine cannot be here right now. They were here for the actual show, so I'm going to apologize for that. But I'm going to do my best to remember everything we talked about and go over it with you guys. So it's just going to be me right now. So I'm very sorry for that. We will fix this. It will not happen again in the near future. I can't guarantee it will never happen again. So we're going to do our best right there. To start off, we would always normally talk about the games that we have been playing. Crean was continuing to play his Warhammer game. I can't remember the exact name of it off the top of my head, and I'm very sorry for that. He said he has defeated Nurgle, so he's gotten past that, but there are some other things that he still needs to do. So he thought he was done, but it looks like there's a little bit more, and he's going to be moving on to that. So he'll be continuing to play that. And for me, I've been playing mostly Cyberpunk 2077, but I have also been going into Frozen Flame. So if you've been watching our stream, you will see that I have been playing that. So feel free to hop in any time and join the chat and have a little chat with me in that game. Frozen Flame, if you're not familiar with it, has recently gone into the, what do we call it when they start off? The early access, that's what it was. So Frozen Flame has currently gone into early access and you can now pick it up. There are two modes available, which are local game or private server. There is also public server, but that is not available yet. So if you want to play with your friends, you're either going to have to do the private server or set up a local game. Local game is 1 to 6 players, and I believe private servers allow you to have up to 25 people playing at a time. So if you want to pick it up, play with your friends, go ahead and do that. It's basically, if you've played a game like Tribes of Midgar or Valheim, it's very similar. You're going to go out, you're going to have some crafting, you're going to have to collect some materials, build up your base. There are some basic RPG mechanics. You have a tech tree. It's more of a sphere, but you move around the circle. You can pick up certain abilities. You can pick up a healing spell, or you can pick up a super jump or some sort of taunt or those sort of things. You can also increase your stats, get some better stamina out of it and whatnot. So if you're into those sort of games, this is definitely something I would recommend. I am having a lot of fun with it, so feel free to do that. And Antoine's been pretty busy, but he has been playing Tower of Fantasy, which is a new game out. If you're the kind of person who enjoyed Genshin Impact, then you'll probably see this. You've probably heard of this game. You may be into it. You may not be into it. Antoine, unfortunately, was saying that he was not having as much fun with it as he was expecting to. He thought he was going to have a lot more fun with it, but in his words, it's one of those things where it's free to play, it might look really nice, the trailers look really great, but then you get into the game and the free to play does start to show where it's not quite as fully fleshed out as maybe some other games have been. So if you want to check it out, go ahead and do that. It is entirely free to play. Obviously, you can spend money if you're into it and you want to get some extra stuff, but at a free game, there's really no reason not to play it, or at least not to give it a shot. So go ahead and check it out yourself. No risk there. So those are the games that we have been playing this past week. And we are going, or I should say we went, into the news a bit. So I'm going to start off with one of Crean's pieces of news. So Crean's first piece of news was talking about basically the biggest and hottest games of 2022. So he went to VG Charts and looked at the sales numbers. We'll start with the Nintendo. So on the Switch, the number one game was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. So that has sold over 48 million copies so far this year. And really close to the end here. But yeah, that's pretty impressive that you're able to sell 48 million copies when it is not available on anything but the Switch. That's not even adding, there's no PC sales or anything else that can go into. Animal Crossing New Horizons sold 40 million or just over 40 million this year, followed by Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which was down to 29 million, and then Legends of Zelda Breath of the Wild at 27 million. And just going down the list, we have Pokemon Sword and Shield, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Party, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, Ring Fit Adventure, and finally Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee was in the 10th slot for the best-selling Nintendo Switch game at 14 million, a little over 14 million, just under 15 million, so 14.81 million. On the PlayStation, Demon's Souls sold the most at 1.4 million. So if we're looking at the Mario Kart, this is 48.1 million, and Demon's Souls sold 1.4 million. So there's a huge gap in that, and Demon's Souls is an exclusive. So again, it's only on one system, but we can already see that how big of a difference that makes. Second place was Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, followed by Returnal, then Dawn of the Monsters, Stray, 35 millimeters, I'm guessing, 35, A Memoir Blue, A Plague Tale Innocence, A Plague Tale Requiem, and A Tale of Paper. So a few things think there that are A Plague Tale Innocence, which is an older game, actually outsold the sequel, A Plague Tale Requiem. I suppose that makes sense if you have people who are trying to catch up with it, but you would have thought that most of the fans who were looking forward to the sequel probably already had played the first, especially when it's been free on PlayStation Plus previously. So the fact that the original sold higher than the sequel is actually a little bit surprising to me. I am also surprised that Horizon Forbidden West did not show up in the top 10. So yeah, that's amazing to me that Stray and A Plague Tale, which is a third-party game, actually outsold Horizon Forbidden West. Now, granted, only for the top three, Demon's Souls, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart, and Returnal, those are the only three that have the total ship numbers. 4 through 10th place do not have any numbers under total shipped. They also do not have critic scores or user scores. So maybe they are basing some of these on something else. So depending on that, I don't know, maybe Horizon Forbidden West did outsell some of these other ones, but hard to say. I know that the original one has now sold over 20 million, but yeah, who knows? And obviously God of War, being as new as it is, wasn't able to make the list. But however, A Plague Tale Requiem came out very recently, very similar to God of War. So the fact that A Plague Tale Requiem outsold God of War is, again, to me, a little bit surprising. So yeah, I might have to look into that and get back to you guys again later to see if maybe some of these numbers are not entirely accurate. And we can definitely say that for the Xbox, these numbers are not accurate at all because they were not released on VG charts at all. So we do not have the sales numbers for Xbox. However, we do have basically what is trending currently. And in the number one spot trending is NBA 2K23. Followed by Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Warzone 2.0, Fortnite, Overwatch 1 and 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Warzone, Grand Theft Auto 5, Minecraft, Apex Legends, Roblox, and in the 10th place is Forza Horizon 5. So obviously these are not based on sales, as Apex and Fortnite and now Overwatch 2 are all free-to-play games. So, you know, these were not based on sales. These are basically what are trending at the moment. So unfortunately, we cannot tell you what was the hottest selling Xbox games, but we can tell you the ones that people are currently playing. So if you're wanting to find friends, you better pick up a copy of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 or NBA 2K23, because those definitely seem to be the hot ones to watch right now. And as for PC, we had top spot, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, number two, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, number three, Minecraft, four, Terraria, number five, Garry's Mod, number six, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, number seven, Counter-Strike Source, number eight, Portal 2, number nine, Stardew Valley, and number 10, Grand Theft Auto 5. So we can see that Grand Theft Auto, even now is still selling quite a few. And Counter-Strike Global Offensive, the top selling one on PC, 40 million copies sold. So that is still less than what we saw with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Switch. Yeah, I don't know what the Switch is doing, but whatever Nintendo is doing with the Switch, they are doing a very good job of it, that they are able to make these kinds of sales. That's crazy that they're able to do so well. So yeah, those are the top sales. And that's going to lead straight into my first piece of news. And my first piece of news was basically, there we go, that the Xbox, we've all seen this whole thing with Xbox and PlayStation and the whole court thing that's going on. Xbox recently came out and said, you know what, Sony really should put their first party titles out day and date the same way we do on Game Pass, as it would be beneficial to the consumers. This would be great for gamers. This would be great for consumers. Sony should really be doing this. Why are they not doing this? Well, turns out that while it might be great for us gamers, it is not great for Sony to do that. As if you look at their current sales, we can see that quite a significant amount of their sales do come from exclusives. So these exclusives are games, first party made games, such as Horizon Forbidden West or Returnal or those. But they also do have some third party exclusives, such as Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is now on PC, but I guess they don't consider that as non-exclusive when it's on PC. I guess it only matters if it's on other consoles. So if we look at the number of sales that they've made, if we look at the amount of money they make and look at the chunk of that that is dedicated to exclusives, it's a pretty significant chunk of their income is from these exclusives. And that makes a lot of sense when you think about just the availability of Xbox Game Pass being on both console and PC. Microsoft is now saying that all their games that they are releasing on console, they are going to release on PC at some point, or day and date at the exact same time. A lot of PlayStation games are moving to PC now, but it does take some time. So it really seems for PlayStation and definitely Nintendo to survive, they need to have those first party titles to really pull people into their ecosystems. And the amount of money that, if you look at the amount of money, if you look at the number of accounts that, or the number of accounts there are for Game Pass versus how much it costs for Game Pass, I think Game Pass is currently, what, $60 US a year for Game Pass? If you do the math on that, with one of these games costing $70, that's basically you could pay for a year of Game Pass, or you could pay for one exclusive. And this year alone, we had Horizon Forbidden West, we had Stray, we had, what's the other one? God of War, that just came out. So the fact that you have three exclusives right there, Stray might be a timed exclusive, but the fact that you have three exclusives right there with something like Game Pass, if you were releasing it day and date, you're not making up the cost of how much money you would be losing with these sort of things. So those things alone make more money than these kind of deals do. So if PlayStation did, that could actually really significantly hurt their bottom line to put those games out day and date. And unfortunately, unlike Xbox, who has Microsoft behind them, we've seen that with Game Pass, they are bleeding money. It is costing them. They are losing money on it, but they have the backing of Microsoft that can just feed money back into them to make sure that this strategy works out long term until they get to a point where they have a large enough base that they can make some changes as needed to make that profitable. Whereas with somebody like Sony, they don't have a PlayStation. PlayStation and Sony, was it the movies? Those are their two biggest things. They're not making money off of that, they're not making money off of these exclusives. There's no money to back that up. And therefore, that could force them into a situation where they have to go the same way as Sega, where they have to say, you know what, we're going to just have to go out of the console market, and we're just going to have to focus on, we're still going to make our games, but we're going to have to put them on Xbox, or we're going to put them on Nintendo, or put them on PC. So that might be a part of Buff's strategy right now, where they're just going to say, hey, you know what, if we can do this and we can give ourselves enough goodwill and we can take those hits because we can survive them, then eventually if Sony can't compete on that level, then you know, they might have to bow out. That might be their option in the future. So we'll see how that goes. It's definitely going to affect, maybe not have a huge effect in the near future, but in the long term, it could, which will bring me to my second piece of news, that in the same court case that we're talking about, the Sony and Xbox basically came out and had to say, you know what, we're not going to be expecting any new consoles until after 2027. You're going to have to wait till 2028 at the earliest to see a PlayStation 6 or an Xbox, I don't even know what you would call it, an Xbox 720 or the Xbox 2 or whatever they're going to call it at this point, the Xbox X, I don't know, but whatever they do decide to name it, we're not going to be seeing these things till 2028. And that is quite a ways off, but it's also because PlayStation definitely seems to be in the console market. They definitely seem to be thinking, we want to continue with this, the way we've been doing things. But Xbox is definitely moving in the other direction where they say, you know what, we're going to go, we really want to do some game streaming. We're going to have a dongle that you can just plug into a USB port on your TV, or maybe an HDMI port or some kind of port on your TV, and you can just stream games to the TV through the dongle. You don't have to worry about processing power or anything like that. You just have to have your good internet connection. So will we be seeing another generation of Xbox? Who knows? Maybe Xbox thinks we don't need that. Will we be seeing a new generation of Sony? Who knows? Maybe Xbox is going to force them into a position where they just need to bow out of the console market altogether and just focus on their gaming studio. Definitely not something before 2028. Come 2028, who knows what the future can bring. So yeah, we're gonna have to wait and see about that. So that is my second piece of news. And that brings us to Crean's second piece of news. Now, Antoine unfortunately did not have any news, so he was mostly making comments on the news that we had. And he did have some comments on this next piece of news that Crean gave us, which is, you know, what we're coming up on here. So basically, we have the list of the top 20 game, or not, sorry, not 20, not what I'm going to say, not top 20 games, but these are the big games to expect for the remainder of the year. We only have 1 month left to go in 2022, and these are the big games to be looking out for in that. So we're going to give you a list here. So the first one on the list is the Callisto Protocol, which is coming out on December 2nd. So that's basically just a couple days away. Now, this game, Antoine definitely had some comments on because it reminded him quite a bit of Dead Space and that sort of thing. And I have to completely agree. And for me, I was not a horror person growing up. I was the kind of kid who got easily spooked. Crean is still the kind of kid that gets easily spooked. So he will definitely not be touching this game. But I'm actually really looking forward to it. Now, for me, I would play it on release, but I do have quite a bit on my plate. And these are usually the kind of games I save for around Halloween. So I'll probably not get this one on release. I'll probably wait for maybe a sale and then play it next October. I typically stream these kinds of games at that time of year. So that's probably what I'm going to do, because like I said, I do have a lot of games that I am currently playing, so I'd have to fit it in otherwise. So I'm going to take advantage of that. But it definitely has a lot of Dead Space DNA in it. It's made by a lot of the same people. And the premise is that you are on some kind of, you're on Callisto, which I believe is a moon of Jupiter, Saturn, if I'm not mistaken, and you're in a prison and things are going horribly wrong. So I'm not quite sure why. I'm not sure if they're doing experiments on you or if something lands on the planet or whatever, but basically you are in this place and it gets infested and you need to find your way out. You're going to have all these gruesome, horrible deaths. There's all the dismemberment and all those things that you got from Dead Space. You're also going to have quite a bit of kind of resource management that you might have seen in older Resident Evil titles. So I saw the other day they were showing some of the weapons in the game, and one of them was a pistol, and they said, this is a really great weapon, but ammo is going to be hard to come by, so make sure you are careful with those shots and make them count. So definitely a game that difficulty will probably be something significant. Now, I don't know, they probably have difficulty settings and whatnot, but definitely the kind of game that you're going to have to think about, as well as think quickly if you want to survive. December 22nd, Callisto Protocol. Next up is Marvel's Midnight Suns. So this is a game where I believe they have the Marvel heroes fighting vampires, and this is the evil things. I can't think of the word at the moment, but the forces of evil, that was the word I was looking for. And this game is very similar to XCOM in a lot of ways. So if you're the kind of person who enjoys XCOM, you may enjoy this game. However, they have made some significant changes. So if you are the kind of person who enjoyed XCOM, you might actually not enjoy this game. So definitely something to keep an eye on. If you're into strategy, keep an eye on this. Look it up. Look at some of the gameplay stuff. And think about if it's for you. I'm a person who really enjoys strategy. I have not played XCOM yet, but I have done games like Other Side, Final Tactics Ogre, that sort of thing. So XCOM is something that is in my backlog, and after I play it, I might have to take a look at this one and see if it's for me as well. So again, December 22nd, Marvel Midnight Suns. Next up is Hello Neighbor 2. So if you played the original Hello Neighbor, then yep, now there's a sequel. And basically what you have to do is you have some weird, creepy neighbors, kids are going missing, and you have to figure out who is behind all these mysterious disappearances. So it's I guess you could say Tim Burton-esque kind of creepy game where it's not bloody or gory, but there is definitely a twisted artistic style about it. So if you're into those sort of games and whatnot, or if you played the original and you want to play the second one, go ahead and check that out. That is coming out on December 6th, 2022 this year. Next up on the list is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 3 Booster Course Pass. So the game is already out, but if you want some extra levels, and we mentioned Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the top-selling game on the Switch, then definitely this is something you might want to add to your game. It is coming out December 7th. And basically, yeah, you're just going to get some new tour tracks and new places. I don't know if they're going to have some new carts or new players. I don't know. But if you really want to increase your game, if you've been playing a lot of Mario Kart and you want just some extra stuff, then check out Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 3 on December 7th. Next, we have Choo Choo Charles, which some of you may have heard of, some of you may not. This is a horror game that is inspired by Charlie the Choo Choo, which if you are a fan of Stephen King and you have read the Dark Tower series, then you've probably heard of Charlie the Choo Choo, who is a character in a children's book that is a bit nefarious throughout the Dark Tower series. This is a game inspired by that where you are fighting against Choo Choo Charles. Basically, you are on, I believe it's some kind of island, and you have a train, you want to get out, but what you need to do that is you need to stop your train, get off, set the tracks, maybe recharge some of the energy on your train, and Choo Choo Charles is going to be chasing you throughout. He's a kind of a weird Thomas the Tank Engine spider mishmash monster type thing. So yeah, you're going to have to be able to escape him. So if you're the kind of person who really loves that kind of goofy, this is definitely a game you're going to want to check out, take a look at. It has some survival elements, so you're going to have to do some foraging. You get on your train, you want to get off, but you're going to have to, you know, occasionally go venturing out in the woods for supplies and whatnot. So if you're into that sort of thing, definitely keep an eye on it. I will be doing so as well. It looks a lot of fun to me. This is not the kind of thing that Korean's going to be playing with me, though. So yeah, so if your eyes are interested, let us know, and yeah, I'd be more than happy to play that game with you. Next up, that is going to be released on December 9th. So December 9th, Choo Choo Charles. Next up, also on December 9th, is Dragon Quest Treasures. Now, Korean has been playing Dragon Quest Builders, and he really enjoyed it. He had a lot of fun. It's very similar to Minecraft in a lot of ways. And this is another Dragon Quest spinoff, and basically, this is going to, you're going to be going out, exploring, hunting for treasures, forging friendships, and that sort of thing. So if you've ever played Dragon Quest, but you want an easy in, you don't want to jump off the deep end, this is a good way to enter it. It's not going to be so intense, but yeah, it's going to have all the charm, and it's going to have a lot of the references. So you play through this game, even if you don't get those references, that's fine. You're going to get them from here. So if you do decide to jump into Dragon Quest later, then yeah, this is how you're going to know what things are. So yeah, December 9th, Dragon Quest Treasures. Next up on December 13th is Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion, which is actually on my Christmas list. So I am not allowed to buy this game for myself because I put it on my Christmas list and I have to see if my wife is going to pick it up or not. So again, this is coming out December 13th. This is the remake of the PSP game Crisis Core. So Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII came out a long time ago on the original PSP. But due to some rights issues, they had some music by Gackt, and I believe they even used his face for one of the characters. Because of those, they didn't have the rights to re-release the game in a different format. So it was stuck on UMD. It was never allowed to be put on the online stores or anything like that. And because of that, since only the PSP could access the UMDs, people couldn't even get ROMs of this or anything. So you had to buy the original game on PSP. That was the only way to play it. People have been wanting it for a really long time. And with Final Fantasy VII Remake, Square Enix decided that this is the perfect time to remake this game. Basically, it's less of a remake and more of a remaster. Everything's looking much better. They have updated some of the combat and that sort of things. But the story, Square Enix is saying, unlike Remake, will remain faithful to the original game. So you're not going to be seeing anything new there. So if you've already played it and you want to see it in a much more beautiful light, go ahead and pick this one up. If you have not played it yet and you've always been curious, but you never had that PSP, now is the opportunity to learn about Zack Fair, the inspiration for Cloud Strife. In-game inspiration, not out-of-game inspiration, obviously. So check that out, Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion, December 13th. And I will definitely be playing that at some point. Next up, we have High on Life, which is a game coming to the Xbox Series X and S and Windows PC. It is created by the creators of, Rick and Morty. So it's got that same kind of humor. Basically, you are some kind of space traveler person, and you are using weapons. I don't remember what they're called, Gatlings or something like that. But basically, they are living weapons. So you pick up these weapons, they'll talk to you, they have commentary, they comment on everything you do. So if you're into that kind of humor, check it out. It's goofy while still being a first-person shooter. So something that you might want to see if you are a big fan of Rick and Morty. So go ahead, check that game out. High on Life on December 13th this year. Next up, on December 14th, the next day, is the next-gen remaster of The Witcher 3. So if you've already played The Witcher 3 and you want to see it looking prettier than ever, go ahead and check it out. If you have not played The Witcher 3, then this is a perfect excuse to finally try it out. And yeah, there aren't too many changes in this game. They did add a few things from the TV show, if I remember correctly. So they do have maybe some armors and things like that from The Witcher show. But otherwise, gameplay is basically what it's always been. The story is unchanged. So if you are looking for a new playthrough of The Witcher 3 or you haven't played it yet, this is a great time to pick it up on next-gen consoles, or you can pick it up on the PC with all the bonuses that come with the next-gen remake. But we just got out of October, the horror time of year, and most of these games have been pretty violent up to now, but the next three are a little more peaceful. The first one is Little Gator Game. That's L-I-L-G-A-T-O-R, Little Gator. It is coming out on December 14th. And this is just a cutesy little running around doing whatever you want to do. You're a little gator with a hat. You can go camping or go fishing or run around. It is very cute. It's very simple graphics. If you've played games like Donut Country or Ooblets or, you know, that sort of thing, you have an idea of the kind of cel-shaded world that you're going to be looking at. I have not heard of this game before myself, so I am not 100% sure what the gameplay is, but just looking at the photo here, it's pretty cute. So I might have to look up some videos of this one and check it out. So that, again, that is Little Gator Game on December 14th. Next, on December 15th, we have a game, aka, I don't know if it's Aka or Aka. I am not sure, and I apologize for that. But it is coming out. It's another game that's, again, very similar. You have these anthropomorphized animals. You're running around in their world. This one is a little more relaxing. You have some quests, but you're just trying to meet some people. And I guess it's similar to, Animal Crossing in that sense. I guess there's none of the building of your own island or anything like that. But definitely a slower pace. And if you're looking for something a little more relaxing, you've got your crafting, your farming, and your questing while exploring the demons of Akka's past. So apparently there's a little bit of a backstory there. that you're going to have to explore by picking up Aka or Aka on December 15th this year. And finally, the last game to look out for is coming out in December. It doesn't have a date, according to this website, so I'm going to have to apologize for that. But Sports Story. So if you were the kind of person who played Golf Story on the Nintendo Switch, now we've had it updated with Sports Story. So you're going to be checking out quite a few more sports than just golf. Here we can see that there is still golf, but also volleyball, cricket, and fishing. And I see a tennis ball there, so I guess tennis is also into it. Oh, soccer as well. So there are quite a few sports that you can check out in this one. And if you enjoyed the first one, then feel free to come on back and check out some of these new things. It'll be, again, there is no release date officially in December, at least not on this site. And it is coming exclusively to the Nintendo Switch. So if you were the kind of person who really enjoyed Golf Story, check out Sports Story this month. Okay, and that was basically all the news that we had for this week. Then I am again sorry that we did not record the original show so that you've had to listen to my voice solely this whole time. You've not been able to hear Crean or Antoine. I'm very sorry. We are figuring that out right now. We're going through a transition between which platforms we're using to stream and where we're streaming and where we are only uploading videos after the fact. So we're getting that all sorted out and we will have that all ready for you in the near future. So that's it for today. I want to thank everybody for listening and feel free to check us out on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook and leave comments anywhere you see us. We love it when we get comments and we love to respond to your comments. So feel free to let us know whether you guys are looking forward to any of these games or if you guys are looking for someone to play with in any of these upcoming games, because myself or Antoine or Crean would love to see you guys in game as well. So I'll see you guys later. Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!